תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות, קהל קדוש. My dear friend Rabbi Waknin, who I always catch the tail end of his speech, but even 5 minutes of Rabbi Waknin is a whole derash. We don't take it for granted. Every word that comes out of his mouth with the energy that he puts into it is incredible. And the rabbis say, Koveh Hashem Yaharifu Koach, that God should give him renewed strength to continue to lead this exceptional kahal. Amen. Kahal Kadosh. There is a parasha that we read yesterday in Ki Tetzeh. I want to read it with you, and I want to understand it properly. And I think there's a great musav from it. Let's learn it from the text. Ki yikach ish isha. So a person gets married. Uba'ala. V'aya imnon temsachen be'enav. The marriage doesn't work out. She loses favor in his eyes. Why? Because she acted in an immodest way. She did something immoral. She didn't get caught. There was no witnesses. But the husband has a good suspicion that she's involved in ervat davar. So the Torah says, V'chatav la sefer kiritut. He writes her a get. V'natan b'yada. He gives it in a hand, like the halakha says. V'shelecha mebeto. And he sends her away. V'yatzea mebeto. She leaves his house. V'alecha v'ayita li'ish acher. And she goes and she marries somebody else. She's allowed. Usne'a ha'isha acharon. And the second husband also comes to hate her. V'chatav la'sefer kiritut. Also writes her a get. V'natan b'yada v'shelecha mebeto. So now the Torah says, Lo yuchal ba'la rishon, the original husband, Asher shelecha, that sent her out, Lashuv lekachta liyot lo l'isha. He's not allowed to come back and remarry her. And the Torah says, Ki to'eva hi lefne Hashem. It's a tu'iba. It's an abomination. It's something that's disgusting. It's something that's repulsive. And I'm asking a simple question. Tu'iba, if a person eats blood, that's tu'iba. If a person does something, he eats an insect, he eats a bug, tu'iba. A person, God forbid, acts in a perverted way. Toiva. What happened over here? A person was married, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. The marriage didn't work out. He gave a get, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. She got married to somebody else, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. She got divorced, Kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. So why can't the original guy take her back? He's going to take her back with the Kiddushin. The Torah says, Lo yuchal, not only lo yuchal, if he does it, to'evat Hashem. Before I say the Hiddush that I came to say on this, I'll tell you what the Ben Ish Chai says, the Ben Yosef Chaim, who is your site was on Friday. The Ben Yosef Chaim in his Sefer Od Yosef Chai, he says, a very sharp Hiddush. He says, if this would be legal that the original husband can take his original wife back after she got married to somebody else, what you actually did is you now legalized adultery. How? He says, just think what people would do, God forbid. If you have Reuven married to a wife, and across the street, Shimon. Reuven, he sees Shimon's wife. He said, but I cannot go with her. Torah says, don't commit adultery. Lotan af. Shimon sees Reuven's wife. Shimon says, I cannot do anything. Lotan af. So Shimon and Reuven make a plan. We'll divorce our wives tonight. You'll marry my wife. I'll marry your wife. And then we'll give get. And then we'll go back. Oh, Torah says, no. Lo yuchal. Because this would be an abomination. Because now you'll have a society that's involved in the legalization of adultery. Chas v'shalom. The people will use this halakha to live a promiscuous lifestyle. And therefore, Borei Olam says, Lo yuchal. That's Ben Ish Chai. I don't need another answer after the Ben Ish Chai. But I must say a chidush that I saw from a great rabbi called Rav Chaim Zaitchik, Zichrono Lebracha, which becomes the theme of tonight's talk. There's a Ramban. The Ramban has a question. I don't know how many people in the audience are studying Daf HaYomi these days. But if you're studying the Daf HaYomi now, we started a new Masechet, Masechet Nazir. A Nazir is somebody that makes a vow that he's going to live a holy life for 30 days. No wine. He's not going to become impure. After 30 days, the Torah says he has to bring sacrifice. One of the sacrifices the Nazir brings is a sin offering, Korban Hatat. Asks the Ramban, what sin did he commit? On the contrary, the guy's a Sadiq. 30 days he lived a life of abstention. They should give him a plaque. They should give him a medal. Instead, they say, ah, you finished? Korban Hatat. Says the Ramban, after you reached a certain conclusion in life, and you reached a certain level, and you reached a certain madriga, and you came to a certain decision that it's proper to live my life as such. And you were so conviction, your conviction was so strong, you made a neder of nazirut. That means you had a moment of clarity. You had a moment of truth. So much so that it drove the person, hareni nazir. Incredible. After 30 days, now you want to go backwards? Now you want to go back to being regular? The fact that the Nazir doesn't continue and he goes back to his regular life, that already is a avon. For that you need kapara. That means there's a sin according to the Torah to regress. A person in life, when he makes a gain, he has to hold on to it. A person invests in the stock market. The proper investor grabs the gain. But the novice and the amateur, he always gives it back. The Nazir, you had something in your hand, you reached a ma'ala, you reached a plateau. After 30 days you say, good, now I'm going to go back to be a regular guy. Borei Olam says, what happened to you? Now you're making Oseh Shalom. You took two steps forward, and now you take three steps backwards. This warrants Korban Hatat. To me this is very significant. Because I see people all day long that unfortunately are traveling in the wrong direction of life. I see a lady that last year covered her hair. She accepted upon herself a tremendous level of modesty. And then a year later, I say, what happened to your covering? I fell out of it. I decided not. In the olden days, this would be punishable by Korban Hatat. You went backwards on a decision of truth. Somebody sent his kids to the yeshiva, and then all of a sudden, he took them out. But last year you understood it, you saw it was the right thing, you understood this was the proper thing. Yeah, but I got cooled off. I took him out, I put him in the public school. This is warranting Korban Hatat. Somebody says, I started going to the shi'ur twice a week. But where have you been? I fell out. To fall out is avon. You're not allowed to go backwards. Once you have a prophet, big prophet, small prophet, it doesn't matter. You must hold on to it. And anybody that's giving it back has the answer for this. I'll give you another proof that Rav Chaim Zaitchik says. There's a fellow, it's along the Torah. V'chi yakdish adam et beto kodesh. Person has a field, and he consecrates the field, he makes the field kodesh, and he goes to the Kohen, it's the Kohen bechavod, this is for you. It's what a donation. The guy's donating all his field to the Kohen, to the Tzaddikim, to the Bet Knesset, to the Hakamim. Then the Torah says, he decides that he wants to redeem it back. Torah says, you want to redeem it back? The redemption is you have to pay the price plus 20%. There's a redemption tax. But the Torah says, if somebody else wants to redeem the field, he could just pay market value. So the rabbi asks, why a regular person pays market value for the redemption? And why does the person himself have to pay 20% tax? He says, because you understood to make a donation. You reached a level of nedivut lev. You reached a level of generosity. You understood that the gashmiut is worthless. That we take our property and we give it to God. You reached a level of emet. And now you're reneging? Now you're regressing? What you understood was the right thing to do, now you got cooled off and you're changing your mind and you're taking two steps back, says Rav Chaim Zaitchik. That 20%, that's a tax for going backwards. You heard of federal tax, state tax, sales tax. Now tonight you heard of a new tax, the backwards tax. In Judaism, if a person takes a step backwards, there's a knas for that. If somebody else came and redeems it, market value, he's not taking any step backwards. But you donated it. Based on this, he explains the story over here of the fellow that got married. This fellow got married to a lady. He must have had children with her. They had a family. And all of a sudden, matzah ba'irvat davar. He notices that she's not a good mother. Why? She's immodest. Irvat davar. And he must have came to the conclusion she's a bad influence on the children. She's bringing the family down in Yirat Shamayim. So he came to the conclusion, this lady for my ruhaniyut is bad. She's toxic. So what did he do? He had to give a get. And by the way, with the get, he has to pay ketubah. It's a cost of money to get rid of her. But he said, I'll pay the money and all the expenses. God's more important. My children are more important. And everybody told them, Ashrecha, Ashrecha. Not an easy thing what you did. Not easy to live alone. not easy to do what you did, but you did it l'shem shamayim because matzah ba'irvat davar. How could you live with a lady over here that's acting immorally? And all his friends gave him chizuk, chazak baruch, ashrecha, you did the right thing. What happens? Somebody else marries her. You know what the Torah says happens in the second marriage? The same thing that happened in the first marriage. That she writes, and I quote, that she says, Hu hotzi resha mitoch beto vezeh hichnisa. He got rid of the marsha'at, and this other guy took her. And then guess what? He realized she's a marsha'at also. The shadchan didn't tell him the truth. And he married her. And she might say, what kind of girl is this over? Marsha'at. He got rid of her also. You know what the first guy should say at that point? How right was I? You see how right I was? Not only did I say she's a marsha'at, even the next guy said she. I mean, it's confirmed. Maybe he'll say to himself, you know, maybe I was being mahmir, maybe I was being strict. But after the second guy divorces her, he says, my opinion was emet. You see that? Nobody can live with her. She's so bad. You cannot live with such a lady. Now the Torah says, Lo yuchal ba'ala harishon, the original husband that sent her out, he cannot take her back. You mean he wants to take her back? The Torah says, if this guy, after what he saw, and after he reached a level of understanding, and it was confirmed, now you want to go back? Now you want to come back, and you're going to fall off your opinion, and you're going to go back in life, and you're going to take her back, and she's immodest, and she's immoral? The Torah says, you know what the to'iva is? Not that you took her back, that you regressed. You made a decision in life. You were right. You were right. And it was confirmed that you were right. Borei Olam says, that's disgusting. That you're not able to stand by a decision. You don't have what's called conviction. You don't have stability. In English they call that, he's wishy-washy. He's like a flag, he blows with the wind. Today he's in and tomorrow he's out. Today he's excited, the next day he's not excited. All of a sudden he's telling his friends, I'm going to take her back. You're taking her back? Are you out of your mind? What happened to Irbat Davar? What happened to the second guy? Yeah, you know what? You were the biggest kanai 2 years ago. You were the biggest zealot. You were the inspiration. You were the tzaddik of the group. But what happened? He got watered down. He got diluted. The yetzer hara chipped away at him. And all of a sudden he went from the high madriga and he finds himself chasing the old wife that was irvat davar. Torah says you can't take her back. But if you do, that's like eating blood. That's disgusting in God's eyes. When Borei Olam sees somebody that can't stand by his opinion, once he came to a conclusion that's truthful, and I said once, always before Rosh Hashanah, always, we read a certain parasha. This week is Parashat Ki Tavo. The following week is Parashat Nitzavim. And the Pasuk says, Atem Nitzavim Ayom. You are standing today. The word Nitzavim means stability. You're in your place. As Jews, the Torah is telling you before Rosh Hashanah, don't give back your prophets. Don't give back your gains. You have to be standing on what you have. Stand on your decisions. A commitment is a commitment. Not one day you donate your house to the Beit HaMikdash, the next day you come back to the Kohen, I changed my mind. Let me change your mind. Pay the backwards tax. One day he divorces his wife because she's Arvat Davar, the next day he's ready to take her back. What happened? I changed my mind. One day he's a Nazir, the next day, I want to go back to drinking wine, drinking grape juice all day long. What happened to you? Change my mind. Change your mind. What happened? Atim mitzavi mayom. Rabotai, commitment must be a commitment. It must be a firm commitment. That's Parashat Nitzavim. The Midrash says, Haviv Moshe Rabbeinu Minoah. Moshe Rabbeinu is more beloved than Noah. What's the connection between Moshe and Noah? We love Moshe more than we love Noah. We love all the tzaddikim. What does it mean? So the Midrash says, because Noah, it starts off in the parasha, Ele toledot Noah, Noah is tzaddik. Noah was a tzaddik. At the end of the parasha, what does it say about Noah? Noah ish ha'adama. He went from being ish tzaddik to ish ha'adama. He went backwards. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the beginning of his career, ish mitzri. Egyptian man. And at the end of his life, what does it say? Vezot ha-beracha asher berach Moshe, ish ha-Elohim. Moshe went from ish mitzri to ish ha-Elohim. Habib Moshe! When Noah regressed in his level, Moshe Rabbeinu progressed. And therefore he becomes the model and he becomes the example. That's a great Musar, Rabotai. All of us over the past year, Tafshin Ayin He, for whatever reason, we started to become a little better. Before we move into Tafshin Ayin Vav, Shiavo Alinu Letova, we have to bank the gains. We have to make sure that what we committed to this year, our lifestyle, our religiosity, our madrigot. There was one boy, a man, he came to me after one of the shiurim, he says, Rabbi, from this class I'm going straight to take my phone or my computer, whatever it may be, to put a password on it. Ashrecha betov lach. Why are you putting a password? Just to protect myself. Of course, I want to study Torah on the internet. I want to hear all the Hadushim on everything. But I'm not interested in all the riffraff. I'm not all interested in the Arvat Davar. Put a password, I'm protected. Ashrecha betov lach. I said, what got you to this level? I understood it. You're right. It's clear. It's not good. It's not proper. Tum'ah, beautiful. 3 months later, I see the guy. How's the protection? How's the password? I undid it. I unlocked it. Unlocked it. He unlocked it. Ki to'avat Hashem Elohecha. This is disgusting. Disgusting? Why am I disgusting? He's wearing a tuxedo. Why is he disgusting? This behavior is disgusting. You had a certain enlightenment. You had a certain clarity. And now you went back into the fog. And now you went back into the dirty waters. If you never had clarity, no problem. But you understood it. You said it's emet. You became a nazir. Now you want to go back to become a regular citizen? And this is on everything in life. Atim nitzavim. Be a man. Stand up for you know what's right. Make a commitment and stand by your word. Not one day you're in, one day you're out, one day you're up, one day you're... Atim nitzavim ayom. That's the first lesson. The first lesson is you can't go backwards in life. But there's another lesson that I came to say to you. Beshut Kahal Kadosh. By the way, what I'm going to say now, you know already. But I cannot leave this out of the derasha. I cannot only tell you everything Hiddushim. I have to say the classics as well. What I'm going to tell you now is a classic. Our rabbis tell us in Gemara, during the times of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Meteshuvah, the times we're in now, God says, "Petchuni petach kepetcho shel mahat." God says, open for me in your heart a small hole. The size of a needle. The men don't know, the ladies know what a needle is. It's a small tiny hole. God says, just a little hole. Make a little something, and then God says, I'll help you expand it. I asked one of the big rabbis, why did you pick something that only the ladies know what it is? Why did you pick something that's universal? Say, Petchuni Petach, like a petach of when a person puts his finger in the sand. It also makes a hole. Everybody knows what sand is. The men know what sand is also. So say simple, when you put your finger in the sand, it makes a little hole. I have a better one. Not everybody knows what sand is. You people are Sadiqim. Water, everybody knows. Water. Put your finger in water, it makes a little hole. Pick something that's universal. What are you picking? A needle. So the rabbi answered from the Baal Musar. Because when you put your finger in the sand and when you take the finger out, it closes up. When you put your finger in the water, it makes a hole. But then when you put your finger out, it closes up. At least the pinhole of a needle, it stays. You can't close it. The commitment remains. It doesn't dissipate, doesn't melt, doesn't disappear. Doesn't have to be something humongous or something gigantic, but it has to be something that sticks. One day decides, I'm going to wear a kippah. The next day, where's your kippah? Oh, I changed my mind. One day, I'm wearing tzitzit. Oh, where's the tzitzit? And then he goes to the gym, he gets embarrassed for a minute, everybody's looking at the strings over here, well, now he thinks I'm flying a kite, what do you think I'm doing over here? All of a sudden he falls out, I'm not wearing. One day he's eating bread during Suda Shlishit, one day he stops eating bread for Suda Shlishit, one day it's the television, one day no television. Back and forth. And therefore the Torah screams with great Musar before Rosh Hashanah, hey, Rabotai, tem nitzavim. You have to stand. You're not standing, you're in quicksand. You're drowning. Monday you're excited, Tuesday you're in a bad mood, Wednesday in Arabic we say Yom Asal, Yom Basal. One day you're excited, one day you have Chabiat face, one day you're motivated to come to Bet Knesset, the next day home. One day Tefillin, one day no Tefillin. What happened over here, Rabotai? You make a commitment, you have to stand by a commitment. God bless the ladies, they bake halot. 1 week they bake halot. 2 weeks, 5 weeks, they fall out. This one reads Perek Shira, falls out. Tehillim, in and out of Minhagim and Sigulot. Just the Sigulah of the day, the Sigulah du jour. What's in style today? And they fall out. You cannot fall out. That for me, it's commitment. Whatever it is, I don't have to go through the whole Torah and give you examples on every single situation in life. Ten hacham v'yachkam. Apply it to yourself. Everybody looks at their life and say, I'm wishy-washy. The rabbi's talking to me. How does he know? How does he know that I don't have any yetzivut? Petrosh el mahat. It's a small hole. But you can't close it. But there's something else that I came to say tonight, which is just as important. Because you think, oh, Baruch Hashem, we got off easy tonight. The rabbi came along and said, Nitzavim, stand in your place, keep your commitments. Okay, Baruch Hashem, that's good. But what I didn't tell you was the next step. There's a pasuk in Parashat Shofetim. The pasuk says like this: Lo takim lecha matseva asher sane Hashem Elohecha. I'll explain to you the pasuk. Let's learn the pasuk. What is a matseva? Matseva is like a rock. So the Torah says, if you want to bring a sacrifice to God, lo takim lecha matseva. Do not take a big rock and bring a sacrifice on it, because God hates it. Asher sane. Because the goyim used to make mizbechot, altars, from one stone. Our tradition was to make altars from 12 stones. So therefore, lo takim lecha matseva, God doesn't want you to follow the practices of the goyim. Although you're bringing the sacrifice to God, but the mizbeach has the smell of the avodah zarah. You use a style of the goyim. We don't want you to use the brand of the Gentile. And therefore, if you're building a mizbeach, build it in the Jewish taste. Lo takim lecha matseva asher sane Hashem Elohecha. There was a great rabbi called Me'or Vashemesh. He explained the pasuk differently. He said, it's not enough to keep your commitments, but now you have to go to the next level. Now you have to go further. What do you mean? The person is going to come along and say, that's it. I accepted when I was in kindergarten to wear his seat. Remember, I'm still wearing his seat. Yeah, but I was in kindergarten. Now you're 85 years old. You're still with the commitment from kindergarten. You said, Nitzavim. I'm Nitzavim. But you didn't move from kindergarten. You're still on the same childish commitments. And therefore, the Me'or Vashemesh says, once you reach certain level, you don't stop for a minute. Now you have to go to the next madriga. And he writes, one should never be comfortable or complacent or satisfied with their matzav. You know what a matzav is? Matzav is your situation. You should never be satisfied. So he says, Lo takim lecha matzeva. You shouldn't make your matzav established. That this is what I am and I don't get better. Lo takim. Don't establish your matzav. When somebody comes along and says, I don't want to grow, I don't want to get better, this is what I am, I'm happy, I'm in the middle. Not too much, not too little, I'm happy where my religion is. Lo takim lecha matseva. You know why? Asher sane Hashem Elohecha. Just like God says, somebody that goes backwards is a toiva. Somebody that doesn't go forwards, God says, Asher sane. I hate that guy also. Add him to the list. I hate the guy that goes backwards and I hate the guy that doesn't go forwards. So we're stuck. And that's why. No coincidence. What's the parasha after Nitzavim? Vayelech. First, Nitzavim. Stand on what you believe and what you have done already. But don't stop there. Lo takim lecha matseva. Don't make your matzav permanent. After Nitzavim, the next step is Vayelech. Vayelech. Move. Kum. Go. Elevate yourself. And that's why these two parashiyot are always read before Rosh Hashanah. Because they're reminding you of the two principles of Judaism. Nitzavim Vayelech. Now, if this is true, what I'm saying, there was a great rabbi called the Gaon Mevilna. The Gaon Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna said that in Judaism, if you're not going up, automatically you're going down. What did he mean to say? What he meant to say, the way I understood it, is there's a gravitational pull that's pulling us down. If you do nothing, automatically the gravity will pull you to the wrong place. That's a natural gravitational pull to the bad. So in order to break that gravitational pull, you need to propel yourself against it. But if you stop moving up, it'll just grab you down. You know what it's like? A person goes on a plane, and the pilot says to the passengers, "We've reached cruising altitude at 36,000 feet, so we're going to shut the engines." Shut the engines. Yeah, we don't need the engines. We're at 36,000 feet. Yeah, boy, if you shut the engines, the plane's going to fall. That means you need to propel and thrust the plane with energy to maintain the height. Once you shut the engines, it's going to fall. That means if a person is not pushing himself forward, if a person is happy being the status quo, he's happy being stationary, he's happy with his matzav. Bnei Olam says, you don't know how life works. One great rabbi said, I think it was Rabbi Friend, he said that the mashal of life is a down escalator. The only way to go up a down escalator is you have to run faster than the escalator that's coming down. But if you stop, it'll just bring you right down. So you need to run faster up to make it to the top. Once you stop, automatically it'll take you back down. How right is the rabbi? So true. First, Nitzavim. You can't go backwards. Nitzavim. Okay, now Baruch Hashem, I fulfilled Nitzavim. You're not finished yet. That's only half a story. Nevayelech. Now go further. I was once by a great rabbi in Muncie, or Square Town. I don't know what they call it exactly. The Square Rebbe, if I'm saying it correctly. New Square, Square Rebbe. Twersky, his name is it. I went to see the Rebbe once before the holidays, before Yamim Noraim. Listen to Hiddush that he said. I'll never forget it. He said there's a Gemara that says, Kachi darka shel yetzer hara. This is the way of the yetzer hara. Hayom omer lo ase kach. Umahar omer lo ase kach. Ad sheomer lo avod avodah zara. Today he says do this, tomorrow he says do this, until he gets you to do Avodah Zarah, which means, simply, the Yetzer Hara doesn't tell the person on day one, go do Avodah Zarah. You won't listen. If a person wakes up Sunday morning, the Yetzer Hara says, go to the Avodah Zarah. What are you talking about? So he says it's a slow process. He chips away at the person. He's very patient. Years until he gets the person to fall. Hayom omer lo asekach, mahar omer lo asekach, until ad sheomer lo. So the Square Rabbi asked, the Gemara should say, Hayom omer lo asekach, today the Yetzer Hara says do this, umahar omer lo ase mashu acher, do something else. Why does the Gemara say that the Yetzer Hara keeps on repeating asekach, asekach? It should say ayom omer lo asekach, mahar omer lo ase mashu acher. Says the Square Rebbe, because you know the Yetzer Hara brings you down. He keeps on saying, do what you're doing, asekach, asekach. Keep on doing the same thing. Ayom omer lo asekach. Tomorrow he says, don't do something different. Asekach, because he knows if he can keep you stagnant, you're falling. If he could keep you on that step of the elevator without moving, he knows it's going to fall. Asekach, asekach. And before the person knows it, ad sheomed lo avod avodah zarah. Lo takim lecha matzeva. And this is the time of the year where we start to see where there's room for improvement. You don't have to make a 180 degree, you know, all of a sudden the guy comes from being a regular guy and he's going to start dressing like a Hasid and grows peot and wear a hat all the way to the Shamayim. Of course not. Marginal growth, marginal something. But one cannot be happy with the status quo. Not only that, I once asked a big rabbi, I said, Rabbi, why on Rosh Hashanah we have the custom to make tashlich? The custom is they go to the water where the fish are. So he said, amazing hadush. He says, because if you ever went to the water is always moving. The sigulav tashlich, part of it is to remind you, you always have to be flowing. You cannot stop. You cannot stagnate. Just like the water, if you look closely, there's always a current moving. It's always, sometimes faster, sometimes slower, but it's never still. The waters of the lake or the ocean always has movement. This is the musar of the person, to the person. And I don't have to tell you what you have to accept upon yourself. Maybe somebody will say, you know something? Now I have to start having a little more kavanah in the Amidah, the first beracha, kavanah before I put on tefillin. Maybe the lady says upon herself, I'll accept Shabbat a few minutes early to light the nerot, and so on and so on. Everybody has to figure out something that you weren't doing last year. It's not enough to come along and ask for another year of life, and you want to stay the same because you're not the same. You see, I was misrepresenting what I said before. To stand on a commitment, you have to go forward. Because if you're not going to go forward, even what you're doing, you're going to lose. Asekach, asekach. Achomer avod avodazara. Abraham Avinu comes and eulogizes his wife. I always wondered, on Rosh Hashanah they decide to read the story of Sarah Imenu. V'Hashem pakad et Sarah. Sarah is the main character of the reading on Rosh Hashanah, Sarah Imenu. And I thought to myself, what do they want to remind us about Sarah Imenu? When Avraham Abinu came to eulogize her, it says Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. Me'ah Shana. Ve'esrim shana, ve'sheva shanim. And the rabbis ask, me'ah shana, shana, shana. The same, me'ah ve'esrim ve'sheva shanim. Why shana, shana, shana? So the rabbis say that in the three parts of her life, in her old age, the me'ah shana, they were full years. In the esrim, when she was young, in her middle years, shana, they were full years. And sheva shani, which means she lived life to the fullest. Sarah Imenu kept on going mechayil and chayil from one madriga to the next madriga. There was never any backwards movement. Kulam shavim letova. So when Avraham Avinu came to eulogize her, it says he wasn't crying so much because she didn't waste any time. When do we cry? We cry for somebody, we say, Miskeen, he didn't take advantage of his time, he needed more time, he could have been, he should have been. Sarah, the 127, there's no waste, there's no fat, there's no excess. Every moment was Shavim Torah, the Me'ah was Shana, and the Islim was Shana. Vayavo Avram nispod le Sarah. Avram came to eulogize. She was perfect. Her whole life was one Aliyah. That's why I said once, when you come to the month of Elul, this is what you have to remember. You have to remember that you have to keep on going up, so you don't go down. You have to remember the lesson of Sarah, and you have to remember the eulogy of Abraham. That Abraham eulogized Sarah, that she lived a full life, she took advantage. And if you take the words Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Vayavo Avraham, Lispod, Lesarah. That Avraham went to eulogize Sarah. That reminds you, what a eulogy, of a perfect life. And unfortunately, what is our life? Wasting time. To us, time is cheap. How much time do we waste just on looking at the websites of nonsense of Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet? How many times could you look at the news in one day, in 1 hour? What happened? What's going to change in 1 hour? How many times could a person waste upon hours doing nothing? The Yetzer of our generation is Bitul Zeman. I once had a great rabbi when I was young. I was coming out of the Bet Knesset. I was about to get on my bicycle and escape. And he saw me. It was the summer. It was this time of year. He said, young man, come inside and learn with me. I said, Rabbi, I learned already. He said, I want you to learn for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And he sat me down in the Knis. And he opened up the Mishnah. And on the dot, 5 minutes, you can go. I said, Rabbi, what's the purpose? What's 5 minutes? He said, I came to teach you that 5 minutes is 5 minutes. This is not like 2 pennies that you have in your pocket, you throw it on the floor. Time is of the essence. Every moment has a value. In America, they talk about spare time. There's no such thing. Yes, spare tire. But spare time. On a Sunday afternoon, you hear people talking, I'm going to go to the mall and kill a few hours. Killing a few hours? That means the time is so worthless to us, we want to kill the time. We don't know what to do with it. We have such an abundance of it, we don't know what to do with it. We have to figure out a way to waste it, to get rid of it, to burn the time. And I'm coming to say, every minute counts, Vayavu Avraham Esmon Sarah, every second, Lo Takim Nechamat Sevar. And we squander. If you looked at the day, how many hours of the day are wasted on nonsense? Nonsense is not going to work. I'm not talking about going to work. You could work 8 hours a day. Maimonides says work 8 hours a day. 9 to 5, Maimonides, Rambam. And you know what Rambam also says? Sleep 8 hours a day. The Rambam says you can sleep 8 hours. He doesn't say 6. The Ben Ishai says between 4 and 6. Harambam says, no, why 4 and 6? 8. Wow, 8 is great. 8 hours of sleep. And I can work 8 hours also. Beautiful. That's 16. And then he says, what do you do with the other 8? Learn Torah for 8 hours. That means a person who sleeps 8 hours a day and works 8 hours, they should have 8 hours to learn. Are you learning 8 hours a day, Rabotai? Who's learning 8 hours? A guy named the Kolel maybe learns 8 hours a day. He's not taking away from your business. Work hard. Work hard. 8 hours. Don't change away from the time of the work. Sleep. Long sleep. Be still 8 hours. Okay, you know what? I'm going to be more lenient than Harambam. Take 2 hours to eat. Even though it shouldn't take 2 hours to eat. Eat. Enjoy. Now you can learn for 6 hours. So you have eating time in there also. Now what else you want? But Rabbi, we have errands. We have errands. Okay, take 1 hour for errands. Traveling time, take 1 hour for that also. Good, so you can learn for 4 hours a day. You're learning 4 hours a day? But Rabbi, tefillot, no problem. Hour of tefillot, 3 hours a day. You're learning 3 hours a day? What's the explanation? Why is nobody learning 3 hours a day? Why do we have this time? Because if you start to look at your calendar and you look at your schedule, look at all the waste. This is the biggest avon of our generation. The wasted hours. That's why we can't account. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? People just sitting doing nothing. I was recently in Italy with my wife. And we have a mentality, always we're in a rush, which is a good mentality. Always rushing, we have to go to the next thing. So I told my wife, let's go get a, they love to drink espresso, and I like espresso, as you can see. So I said, let's go over here and get an espresso. So I tell the fellow there, bring me a double espresso. And bring it in a, to go, in a cup. They don't know what I'm talking about. What do you mean? What is it? She gives it to me in a glass. I said, I don't want this. She's pointing to the seat. You sit over here, you drink it. I said, I don't want to sit over here drinking. I have to keep on going. I want to move. And you see the Italians, they're sitting on an espresso for an hour. And they sit at the table and they sip it and they talk and they sip it again. They talk. This is the mentality of life. That means 2 hours a day just drinking espresso, doing nothing. And then you wonder where all the time goes. So we don't have espresso, we do a Starbucks. So you see people just sitting there, drinking, sipping a coffee, half hour a day doing nothing. So if you make a calculation at the end of the year, where did all the time go? How come I'm not learning? Not because there's no time. That's a falsehood. There's a lot of time. After 8 hours of sleep and 8 hours of work, you still have 8 hours to play with. Even if you want to give 3 hours to other things, you still have 5 hours, you still have 4 hours, you still have 3 hours, you still have 2 hours. And then a person says, I don't even have 15 minutes to learn. Sheker v'chazav. Sheker v'chazav. It cannot be. And the explanation is, because you're sipping coffee, and you're sitting down, and you're Googling, and Shara Gilgulim, and you're doing all this other type of things, wasting time, and therefore the hours are getting lost. Don't you understand? The hours are getting lost. And therefore Elul reminds you, Vayevo Avraham, the sport, the Sarah, the eulogy was, it was 127 full. No waste. Aliyah. This is the Musab. And how do I know that I'm right, that the Avon in our time is the waste of hours. We're wasting hours. And that's the biggest tikkun of the upcoming year, Rabotai. Take back the time. The Satra Hara is taking the hours from our pocket. We have to retrieve it. This year is Taf, Sheen, Ayin, Vav. Rashi Tevot, Otiyot, Sha'ot. Sha'ot, this is the year of Sha'ot. This is the year that God says, it's the year of the hour, it's the year of the moment, it's the year of time. After all the entertainment that surrounds us and all the distractions and all the diversions, Borei Olam says, what's going to be with the Sha'ot? What's going to be with the 8 hours? This is the year that we accept upon ourselves to take the time back. To take the time back to us. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. We have to take the months back. And the years back. And this is my lesson to Kehal Kadosh tonight. Don't waste your time. You have a lot of time. Don't be fooled by people that come and tell you, that I don't know where the time went. Make Hashbon, you'll know exactly where it went. And you'll find out that it wasn't used productively. Look at it, you came here, this is productive time. You come to Shi'urei Torah for an hour and a half, you sit, you learn, you study. But the Mishnah warns us. Al tomar l'kshe'ipane eshne shim melotipane. Don't say, when I have free time, I'll study. Because you might not have ever free time. The Yetzirah will always keep you busy. One more errand, and one more item, and one more thing. And therefore I heard from Rabbi David Abu Hasera when I went to visit him in Nahariya. He said in Shamayim after 120, they're going to ask us, Kavata Itim LaTorah. He learns it differently than the way we understand. We learn Kavata Itim, did you set times to the study of Torah? He says that the word kava can also mean to steal. The koveya nafsheim nafesh. Koveya is to steal. Koveya koveyim nafesh. So he says they're going to ask us a question in 120. Did you steal time to study Torah? Because that's the only way you can study. You have to steal, you have to take from something else. Because the Yetzirah will always keep you preoccupied. You have to be willing to grab it from somewhere and bring it to the Torah. This is the year of the hour. Shnat Sha'ot. And every time you see Tafshin Ayin Vav, oh Sha'ot, you'll remember the Derash. You'll remember the two parashiyot that precede Rosh Hashanah, Nitzavim. That's what's in your pocket already. And now go further. Vayelech. Because without Vayelech, even what's in your pocket, you're going to lose. Asekach, Asekach is a guaranteed stage to Avodah Zarah, eventually. And my blessing to Kahal Kadosh is solidify last year's gains, lock them up in the vault, stand firm on your commitments, don't go back and marry the girl that you understood wasn't the girl. Once you made yourself a Nazir, don't go back. There's a tax for going backwards. That's Nitzavim, that's Tafshinayin here. And as we enter the new year, you have to say, what's next? What's the next project? What's the next Kaddush? What's the next Kabbalah? What's the next elevation? And I'm telling you where it should be in your time. It should be on the clock. Try to grab some of those hours, Shnat Sha'ot, that have been taken away from us by the Satan. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, I have no doubt. Those that spend their time wisely, Borei Olam gives them more time. Borei Olam says, it's a good investment. You give him time, he gives it back to me. It's a sigula for arichut yamim. And in the kahal that's present tonight, I say, ve'atem adivekim b'adonai Elohechem, hayim kolechem ayom, amen v'amen.
Rabotai, just there.